This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, September 12th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll profile a group of Burmese refugees working in Chicago. We'll also have a look at your weekend forecast for Champaign-Urbana, a bit of a wet one. But first, a look at today's news. Illinois Senate is in no hurry to come back to Springfield to deal with the budget, ethics, and other measures before it. Amanda Vinicky has more.
This week, the Illinois House rejected major changes Governor Rod Blagojevich made to a campaign finance measure. The House also acted on about a dozen other pieces of legislation the governor had vetoed. According to the Illinois Constitution, the Senate has only 15 days to act on those measures. Otherwise, they fail. But Cindy Davidsmeyer, the spokeswoman for Senate President Emile Jones, says the Senate has plenty of time. She says the clock isn't ticking yet and that the countdown begins only once an official message has been read into the Senate record. Davidsmeyer says that will occur in November, when the Senate's already scheduled to be in session. The House also voted to restore budget cuts to state parks, historic sites, and drug abuse treatment centers. The Senate will wait to act on that, too. Davidsmeyer says a lot can happen before November with budget negotiations. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
One big item in the University of Illinois budget for next year is the renovation of Lincoln Hall. The Board of Trustees asked for about $56 million to get the nearly 100-year-old building fixed. The board has frequently asked for money from the state, but they haven't gotten it since lawmakers have not approved a crucial capital bill. At yesterday's U of I trustees meeting in Urbana, President Joseph White said the U of I is pumping about $6 million into the building to deal with water intrusion.
So what we're trying to do is stabilize Lincoln Hall in anticipation of the major renovation that is much needed. And I want to say one other thing to you. I believe the state of Illinois will have a capital bill. I'm hopeful but not confident that it could come this year. If it comes, Lincoln Hall money will be in the top tier.
But White warns that while they're waiting for state money, Lincoln Hall could deteriorate to the point of no return. The president says the university is working on a backup plan to rescue Lincoln Hall if the state money doesn't come through. U of I trustees have approved a $4.2 billion operating budget for the 2009 fiscal year, a 6.8% increase over last year's budget. The plan approved yesterday in Urbana includes money for the day-to-day operations of campuses in Champaign-Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield. The trustees also agreed on a new program to try to hold down on natural gas costs. The University of Illinois is one of only three universities that own an airport with passenger service. And as AM 580's Tom Rogers reports, trustees say some changes need to take place.
Willard Airport has seen a drop in activity over the last 3 years, though a U of I official says much of it is due to a depressed airline industry. Still, Mike Bass of the Office of Business and Financial Services says Willard may be better off under the control of a separate government agency, like a local airport authority.
That's not happening tomorrow. That's going to take at best, probably 2 years to 3 years to get done correctly. But to be competitive with Peoria and Bloomington and others of that ilk, they all operate under an airport authority, which means they have access to a much larger basis of capital and revenue funding than we do.
Trustees also point out that other central Illinois airports get steady business from large corporations. Robert Vickery says it leaves Willard in an uncertain position.
And if we don't do something and start now, we're going to muddle along year after year after year, and Willard's going to continue into this area of the uncertain future.
Vickery also brought up Willard's daily parking fees, where other airports have free parking. He wonders how much parking revenue winds up getting expensed back to the U of I from its employees. Bass says further analysis will help the university answer those questions. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
A Catholic priest on the U of I campus has been suspended after being charged with selling cocaine from his church office and rectory. The Reverend Christopher Layden pleaded not guilty yesterday to two counts of delivery of less than 1 gram of cocaine within 1,000 feet of a church and one count of possession with intent to deliver 1 to 15 grams of cocaine near a church. His defense attorney, Mark Lipton, told the court Layden wanted to waive a preliminary hearing and enter his pleas. U of I police say the 33-year-old was arrested Wednesday at St. John's Catholic Newman Center. They say investigators found 3 grams of cocaine and drug paraphernalia The Catholic Diocese of Peoria says before the arrest, officials never suspected drug use. Layden is a native of Hoopston who has taught religion courses at high schools in Bloomington and Rock Island. He posted $5,000 bond yesterday and was released. A pretrial hearing is set for October 21st. As the Champaign County Nursing Home tries to recover from its financial problems, one challenge it faces is a shortage of nurses. The county nursing home has struggled to keep a full nursing staff and often has to hire temporary contract nurses from an agency, costing far more than nurses on their own payroll. Mark Holly of Champaign County's Nursing Home Board says the nursing shortage is a nationwide reality, but he says nursing homes face a particular challenge in recruiting new nurses because nursing home care is not the career path nursing students learn about first.
During their nursing education, primarily most of it is done in the hospital setting, and so that's what they are used to, that's what they see as their role, and it's hard to convince them of other avenues of employment when they haven't been exposed to it yet.
Holly directs the registered nursing program at Parkland College, and he says Parkland could help point out the county nursing home as a potential employer by including it in its friendly visits program. In that program, Parkland nursing students regularly visit the elderly at local care centers to learn more about them as both patients and people. Holly discussed nursing recruitment efforts at last night's Champaign County Nursing Home Board meeting. He says the nursing home could begin hosting Parkland nursing students for friendly visits as soon as this semester. Purdue and Indiana universities both report record enrollments, topping 40,000 students on their main campuses. Other schools, both state-supported and private, are also reporting enrollment gains that may be driven by Indiana's struggling economy. A large chunk of Purdue's increase is in graduate school, and interim dean John Story says the sagging economy might account for part of the increase. He says people tend to go to school more when the economy is bad. State Higher Education Commissioner Stan Jones has said the slow economy is behind higher enrollment at Ivy Tech State College. The fire department in the small central Illinois city of Maroa doesn't have people to cover the day shift after 9 firefighters resigned this week. Former Assistant Fire Chief Jamie Zumbro says he's concerned with the quality of training and doesn't have confidence in Chief Larry Peasley's leadership. Peasley says the department's hands-on training is comparable to other departments. He says a difference of opinion is expected in any leadership situation. Peasley says he has contacted nearby departments to cover the day shift, and he'll seek new members with an aggressive recruitment drive. The resignations occurred Tuesday. For the latest newscast online, go to wil.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. A lot of the meat and poultry on U.S. dinner tables is cut and packaged by undocumented immigrants. But federal enforcement is shaking things up. Many packing houses are turning to a different pool of cheap laborers. These workers have immigration papers. They're war refugees. In Chicago, Arkansas-based Tyson Foods has been recruiting Burmese refugees to work in plants as far away as Kansas. The Burmese desperately need jobs, but it's not clear they know what they're getting into, as Chip Mitchell reports.
17 people live in this 3-bedroom apartment on Chicago's north side. These former farmers speak Karen, a language of southeastern Myanmar, the Asian country formerly known as Burma. They spent 11 years in a refugee camp in Thailand before arriving in Chicago a year ago. 44-year-old Ba Shui and his wife brought 5 children here. After months without steady work, Ba Shui heard about jobs paying $11.75 an hour in a place called Garden City. That's a town in western Kansas where a Tyson Foods beef plant has hired hundreds of refugees. In April, Ba Shui says he and 4 friends left their families and headed for Garden City. On his 3rd day at work there, though, Ba Shui says he passed out. He and 5 other workers ended up in the hospital. It turns out an equipment malfunction had released a spray that was supposed to sanitize the beef carcasses. But Ba Shui says he never learned what he had inhaled and didn't get reimbursed for lost wages. A Korean-speaking advocate could have helped him figure it out, but there wasn't one. Lavita Rollman directs Garden City's only resettlement group, the Catholic Agency for Migration and Refugee Services.
Tyson brings them here, wanting them to go to work, but then they're kind of on their own.
With just one other staff member, Rollman says her agency can't do much for the Burmese who've trickled in over the last year to work for Tyson.
If I wanted to hire somebody, there's nobody to be hired. It's even hard to find a good interpreter.
That's one reason Ed Silverman doesn't like Tyson recruiting Burmese to leave Chicago. Silverman heads Illinois' Bureau of Refugee and Immigrant Services.
They have no conception of what meatpacking is and what that work is like. They have no understanding of the safety hazards. If Tyson were going through one of the resettlement agencies, the resettlement agency would be providing that kind of information.
Silverman says moving refugees to a small town limits their access to language instruction, medical care, and treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder.
My concern is that they not be exploited.
Many industry observers say meatpacking companies are turning to refugees because immigration raids have made it more risky to employ undocumented workers. In Chicago, Tyson has recruited Bosnian and Somali refugees, and more recently, the Burmese. The company has convinced some to relocate hundreds of miles away. A Tyson spokesman insists the recruiting has nothing to do with the raids. He says most of the company's recent hires from Chicago are not refugees, and that Tyson looks for anyone who wants to work long-term for competitive pay and benefits. Those benefits include health insurance and a retirement plan. At the Kansas plant, Tyson also helps new employees with starting costs for things like housing and food.
Everybody wants a paycheck, and the best paycheck that you could get, you're going to find that job.
Fabian Talamante of Refugee Services of Texas helps Somali and Burmese employees of a Tyson plant in Amarillo. Talamante says Tyson warns the refugees it won't be easy.
They go through a thorough orientation before they hire them and explain that there's blood. You know, it's hard work. They're going to be working with knives. And so they give them the opportunity to, you know, to accept the job or not accept it.
After getting out of the Kansas hospital, Bashway went back to the production line. But he couldn't see moving his wife and kids to a place with few refugee services. So he came back to Chicago last month. Now Bashway is trying to get a job at a Tyson plant closer to home. He says the meatpacking jobs pay well, and he hasn't been able to find any other steady work near Chicago. I'm Chip Mitchell.
Cloudy skies today in our forecast, periods of rain and thunderstorms, the high 78. Cloudy, muggy tonight with some showers and thunderstorms expected, the low 68. Mostly cloudy, warm, and humid. Occasional showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, the high around 80. Cloudy skies tomorrow night with rain and thunderstorms, the low 66. Cloudy skies Sunday, rain and thunderstorms possible. Some heavy rainfall likely, the high 73. Cloudy skies Sunday night with some showers during the evening hours, the low 56. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, September 12th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.